If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another prediction show with me, Stephanie Chase. And this time we're talking about AEW Revolution. And joining me is Zach Hadorn. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's going to be a busy wrestling weekend with obviously SmackDown tonight, Revolution. So it's great to be here. Always love talking wrestling with you, Stephanie. So thanks for having me.
I always love talking with you, Zach. Yeah, it's been a busy period because last week was the Elimination Chamber and everything that happened there. So it feels like really soon to be talking about another pay-per-view again. But yet, here I am for AEW Revolution. What is your feeling looking at this 10-match card, 9 main show matches card for Revolution right now?
You know, I think this is one of the better AEW pay-per-views of the last 12 months, to be frank. I just think that these matches, you know, they all are like very intriguing, I think. Yeah. You know, especially like at the top of the card. I mean, you have 4 or 5 matches that are really, really, you know, intriguing matches, both in the ring and storyline wise. And I think going into this show, AEW has done a better job building up these matches and putting like coherent and fun and interesting storylines behind the top stuff. So to that end, I think this is a success for them. And of course, we know that AEW delivers in the ring on pay-per-view. So I've always said, you know, if you can start mirroring up like good storytelling and good build with the great in ring of your pay-per-views, you're going to have like a product that people want to see. And I think they go into this show with a bit of momentum on their side.
Yeah. Their pay-per-views like very rarely miss. They usually always hit. And it's because it's such a great in ring product. I think, you know, sometimes this storytelling we can have issues with, but there's never any issues with in ring, like with the talent they have. And for me, looking at this card, I would say like there's only one match I'm not too hyped for, and we'll get to that. But I agree with you that it's one of the best recent cards that they've put on. And just in the chat here, Hearst Hill says, is it Sunday yet? Can't wait. Yeah, it took me a while to catch on. This pay-per-view was on Sunday. I think I got too used to Saturday pay-per-views and Sunday. I don't think I'll be staying up live because now I'm back over here in Ireland, that would be a 4 to 5 a.m.
Yeah, that's a tough ask.
Hello to Magnum BI in the chat. Great to see you back too. So everyone, we will be predicting AEW Revolution, and let us know your predictions for each of the matches in the chat, and we'll be giving you some of our thoughts on the build and fun things like that. And before we get to it, let's hear from our sponsor, betonline.ag.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at betonline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag. Zach, were you someone that got worked on putting some money on Drew McIntyre last week?
I didn't, but I was close. If I had a little more disposable income, maybe I would have, but.
Ugh. I know a lot of people that did before they, whatever day that came out, whether it was Thursday or Friday, and then they like suspended betting on it. And I was just sitting there going like, I didn't understand why everyone was taking it as like gospel, but I think quite a few people like lost a few, a few tenors over here with that.
People are always looking for, whether it's wrestling or sports or something else, always looking for that edge betting wise. I think people thought they had it going into the chamber.
For sure. All right, let's get to AW Revolution. And the first thing we'll just talk about quickly here is the pre-show match, because we have the return of Big Boom AJ, who is teaming with Orange Cassidy and Mark Briscoe to take on Johnny TV and MXM Collection. Zach, who do you think is going to win this match?
Big Boom AJ does not do jobs in AEW, so he is going to get that win. I mean, yeah, they love this guy. They love this guy. So, you know, I think they're going to put him over. AJ and team win.
I was there when he wrestled at Full Gear. It was, right? So I was there for that. Crowd were totally hot for it. I think he's going to win. But I do wonder if he might kind of push his luck as far as like the good receptions go. Yeah. You know, if you keep turning up so much. I mean, like another person that's going to be on the pre-show panel is Paul Walter Hauser, and he's pushed his luck with me. Like I need a break from seeing him on like every non-WWE wrestling show going. But I just do wonder if, you know, Big Boom AJ, the warm reception might not last if we see too much of him. But yeah,
I mean, wrestling fans will turn on you like in an instant. And it could all be going well, even in one night, you know, it could all be going well. And then on just a quick turn, then you don't have him anymore. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I would assume that like there is tangible data that AW gets a boost from working with this guy. But
I hope so.
But, you know, hey, we'll see. I mean, luckily he's buoyed by Orange Cassidy and Mark Briscoe. Crowd loves them. But this is what it is.
All right, well, let's get to the main card. And let's start with the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin versus the Outrunners for the Tag Team Championship. Zach, what do you think? A squash? Who's the winner and within how many minutes or seconds?
So going into this, I would have said that squash is what you can expect here with the Hurt Syndicate, you know, maybe a minute or two, just because of how, you know, powerful they are, the kind of act that they are. But you saw AEW try to put some juice behind the Outrunners. They ran like a nice video package for them on Dynamite this week. They tried to kind of tell the story of that team a little bit. So I feel less now like it's going to be a total and complete squash of the Outrunners. I still think the Hurt Syndicate win here, and I think that's the right call. They've got more momentum. I think they've got a higher upside. There's some bigger tag team matches for them still left to do in AEW, and the Outrunners at this point are more of kind of a gimmick team. However, I do think that, you know, based on what we've seen, I don't see Tony Khan booking something where the Outrunners just get totally dusted. So I'm taking Hurt Business here, but Outrunners will hold their own for a bit.
I have really loved the Hurt Syndicate since they came in. I think they've been so good and so dominant. And I think Well, I would like to see the Art Runners squash, to be honest. Like I know like they're a lot of fun, and they are a lot of fun. It's a funny gimmick, but putting them up against the Hurt Syndicate, who to me just feel like they should be such a unbeatable team, it's like, it's hard. Like originally it seemed like we were going for Archer and Cage against them, and then, we went to this. So I think that the Hurt Syndicate are definitely winning. I would say it will be the shortest match on the card. Maybe not like a little, maybe not a squash. Maybe it'll be kind to the Outrunners. But I hope that's it. I hope they don't think of doing something like Brave, where maybe Archer and Cage come out to cause some kind of distraction that lets the Outrunners get like a shock win to tell like another story. To me, it's just kind of an odd match because the Outrunners are very popular, and I just feel like there was another story to tell with them, kind of like finally getting a big win, and this seems like an odd one to put them in against a team that's so dominant, where I think with the Hurt Syndicate, we should be telling the story of them dominating the tag division until maybe we see the Bucks or someone come back, you know? So
yeah, and like I just think that like the... It seems like AW really, they know they have something in the Hurt Syndicate and like some good star power for the tag division, but it doesn't seem like they're committed quite yet to that team as a heel team or a babyface team. Because if they were a babyface team, like a clear babyface team, you'd think that they wouldn't put them up against another babyface team in Outrunners, but they just get cheered. They get cheered. People want to see them hurt other people. And I mean, I think you're going to get the chant on Sunday. You're going to get everything. And so hopefully this is like a step in defining them.
They're so cool, which is, it's like odd to say about guys, you know, around their 50s that are ex-WWE guys, but like they are very cool.
They are.
The fans just want to embrace them. So yeah, you're right. It is an odd choice to put them against a babyface team. Let's move on to, I've put this one next because I feel like it feels more like an exhibition match to me just because of the build. We have Mercedes Moné versus Momo Watanabe for the TBS championship. I think I can predict this is going to be a really good match. I think, and it just feels like something Mercedes wanted to do after her last match. Like they did tell quite a story with Harley Cameron, and this feels more like her, you know, inviting in Momo just to have a great match and like prove she's the best with her. And I feel like it's an obvious win for Mercedes. Do you agree?
100%. I mean, this is going to be a good match. There's no question about that. I mean, I think Mercedes Moné is operating at a very high level when it comes to in-ring. She can wrestle anybody. She has good matches with everybody. And this is going to be that. So I don't have an issue with like the match itself. It just seems to me that, you know, Mercedes Moné is kind of operating. If AEW's here and like their narrative stuff is here, she's kind of like over here. Like she's just kind of doing her own thing. And I just think she's a valuable star for the company. And so I just, not that I don't like these kind of matches, on the night I'm going to be riveted and it's going to be fun to watch, but I want to see her more over here, like a more like front and center with what AEW does storyline wise week to week to week to week. And she just isn't involved in that right now. And I hope she does, you know, get involved with that this summer.
It feels like they boxed her off into her own little area because logic would tell you that she should be the women's champion, not the TBS champion, and they didn't want to go that route. And they're, you know, the women's division, they don't get much TV time, they don't get much storytelling time. So you've got all the stuff going on with Toni Storm, and then you've got whatever Mercedes doing, and then there's not much time with only one women's match a week on Dynamite to build up other like little stories. And Mercedes, it does feel like they almost, even though it's been a year since she debuted, I think I was there in Boston last year, it was definitely in March, but they still haven't like fully integrated her into the women's division. It almost feels like if they fully acknowledge her, then it raises a lot of questions about what you're doing with Toni Storm and Mariah May and people like that. So yeah, Fernando says this is a prelude to Mercedes versus Athena, which I really hope so, because I can't believe we're still talking about Athena being on Ring of Honor. It's so crazy. It really is. I interviewed Athena. I can't remember when it was, but it was months ago. And I did ask her about this, and with her answer, she almost convinced me that it was okay. But now it's still been so long since that time that I'm like, no, this really isn't okay that she's stuck on Ring of Honor. It's just not. So
yeah, I mean, I think initially, like it was good for her to kind of like, she didn't get lost in the shuffle of AEW. Mm-hmm. She got to just own the Ring of Honor brand as like the top
star. That's basically what she said. Yeah.
And that's good. And that's good. But at some point you got to graduate from that. And I think she's ready for that. She's ready to kind of move up and be the top person or a top person on the actual brand, mm-hmm. top brand. So yeah, I'm with you on that 100%.
And next up, let's go to Okada versus Brody King for the AEW Continental Championship. I just see this straightforward win for Okada. And I'm going with the idea that they will unify the Continental and the International eventually. And we'll talk about the International later, but I'm going with the idea that there's going to be a unification match with that. And if there was, either person in the International Championship match would work great against Okada. I do like that Brody King's getting to come into his own. Malachi Black's gone, so we can get rid of that like nonsense, and he can get to really shine as a single star. I think it'll be a pretty good match, but I think it's straightforward win for Okada. How about you, Zach?
100%. If I were a pro wrestling betting person and I went to Bet Online, this would be the one I'd be putting the chips in on Okada to win this. You know, it's just, you just can't have him lose this match at this point. Like, you've got too much on the table, too many cool potential ideas with him and Kenny and title unifications. And frankly, he's just a big name that shouldn't be doing like jobs in matches with 2 weeks build. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. So, yeah, Okada's going to win this. Okada's going to retain. I'm interested to see how he works with Brody King. You know, a different kind of style opponent for him. But but the bottom line is Okada's winning this. And I am oddly confident in that one.
Yeah, I mean, they've been using Brody King better, but they've not done anything that shows me some grand plan for him that would make me think that they were ready to put a title on him. But Okada, there's a lot of things in Okada's future, I think, if he keeps the title. Okay, what do we got? All right, next, let's go to the other women's match. We have Toni Storm and Mariah May. It is a Falls Count Anywhere match for the Women's World Championship. Zach, how do you feel about the recent developments between Toni Storm and Mariah May?
Listen, I just love this program. I love this feud. I love what they've done over, you know, the course of 18 months or so as far as this rivalry goes. And I just think that like it's a really strong piece of business for AEW. And you have two talents in Toni Storm and Mariah May that have clear chemistry together. They have clear, you know, ideas about how they want their characters to be. They have clear ideas where they want the storyline to go. They're clearly active in getting from A to B to C to D. And I just think all on the way, this has been a really, really fun ride. And to me, this is your main event. Like, this is your main event for the show. I think this is the match that fans care the most about. I think this is the match that has the biggest kind of historical play for the company, the big trilogy match of the biggest women's feud that your company has had. And, you know, it's with two talented wrestlers who can deliver in the ring. So I like this week on Dynamite, the sit down. I thought, you know, you've pretty much done everything to that point. You know, you didn't need some humongous angle to close things out. I liked just nudging it over the finish line with like a little interaction. It was cool, you know, to see them cross paths at the Queen of the Ring premiere. And they kind of like had a little bit of a brawl, which was fun. But look, this is one of the best things that AEW has done, you know, in their in-company history. And I hope that it gets the time. And I hope that it gets the spot on the card where it can really shine. Like,
yeah,
it needs that. It absolutely needs that. And I think Toni Storm wins. I think she's going to hold on to the title. It seems like if this is the end, you know, good guy has to win. And I think that means she goes over and she gets that final win. And maybe we see Mariah May kind of go through, you know, a downward spiral after that. There's a lot of angles you can play on this afterwards with Mariah. But yeah, Storm's got to win. I think that puts a bow on this whole feud in the right way. And I think this is, you know, this is the end.
I think it's the end too. And I think that they have told a really great story. They've told a long story, a consistent story with different twists and turns. And I think, like, I can't say that Timeless Toni's like my favorite character, you know, like she's not really for me, but at the same time, I appreciate the storytelling. And when we talk about some other stuff, like how I feel, for example, about what they've done with Moxley, that to me feels like a story that was not properly planned well enough into the future to keep it going. The fact that we're in March now, like, yeah, you know, it doesn't feel like it was storyboarded, you know, say if it was a movie, it feels like the storyboard was half done. And with Mariah and Toni, it feels like they had the full storyboard, like they're both into every beat of it. They both have a lot of ideas. I think it's RJ City helping them. He has a lot of ideas for it, and it's something that they've stuck with and they've committed to, which one thing about Toni Storm, she's fully committed to this character, Mariah to her role as well. So I do think, yeah, it's been a really great storyline. It would be cool if they could have main evented, but that's something as far as a pay-per-view main event, I don't see happening for a while in AEW when it comes to the women, unfortunately. But they've definitely put the work in. I will say, like, the promo, the sit down that they did on Dynamite, Toni Storm said to Mariah that she could end up with a lifetime of mediocrity.
Great line.
But honestly, like a real concern, because yeah, like we were saying before with Mercedes and Momo, they don't tell enough women's stories. They don't give away enough TV time to women. So I feel like Fernando here says that Mariah's first reign was underwhelming. Totally agree. I think it was underwhelming, and I felt like they hadn't put a story for her when Toni was away. It felt like her story as champion was just the fact that Toni could come back at any moment, rather than seeing her explore other rivalries. Just the storytelling just really dropped a lot when Toni was out of the picture. So I just hope that they now have a plan for a Mariah May without Toni Storm. You know, like you could move her onto Mercedes. I don't know, but just something, because it is, when you look at the list of AEW women's world champions that we've had, there's a lot of kind of like, where are they now? What, you know, I mean, think about it. Like Nyla Rose was a champion. There wasn't great follow-up there. We don't know where Britt Baker is. Like, I'm just looking at the list. There's a lot to say about what they've done with Jamie Hayter since her return. Hikaru Shida, you know, these women, they're not all, the follow-up isn't always great. So I hope that Mariah gets something when her and Toni are done, because she deserves it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that, I think she is the most, I mean, all those women that you just mentioned, you know, are talented women. Yes. And when they lost the title, to your point, they did kind of fade away into mediocrity, like Toni Storm said. But Mariah May, like, to me, out of all those former champions, she's one that you have to have something for. Like she's too talented. She's young. She can be a part of your company for a really long time. And she's somebody that, you know, like if she, you know, the business of wrestling, right? If she's not getting anything good creatively, like there's going to be another wrestling company in Connecticut that is going to pick up her services.
Yes. Like,
it's just that is going to happen. I think she's on that kind of a level. So they have to make sure that they have something for her after the fact. And I hope that they do. I hope that they do. They don't have a good track record. But if there was any person to kind of try to change that track record on, Mariah May would be it.
Yeah. So, but we both agree Tony's winning. Yeah, I think so. Okay, let's move on to Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher in a steel cage. How do you feel about this one, Zach? A steel cage match from AEW.
I am excited to see what they do off the top of that cage, and I hope they don't kill each other when they do it. This to me is a match of the night contender. As far as the pay-per-view goes, I mean, it's Will Ospreay, so you know you automatically have to like increase the odds to the fact that he's going to have the match of the night always because it's Will Ospreay. But like this is one of those matches that I kind of was mentioning at the beginning of the show where I feel like, you know, 6-8 months ago in AEW, this match would just be on the show and it would be there. Oh, let's do a cage match. Okay, you'd have it. It'd be good. But they've done the legwork to, like, I think make you care about this. They've made the Don Callis family, like, an important heel faction on the show. Kyle Fletcher is a key figure in that. He's got the history with Will Ospreay. They've told that story. They're 1-1 in singles matches. And so the cage match makes sense. And then they just have put in the work, nuts and bolts-wise, to get heat on Fletcher. You know, the big beatdown this week on Dynamite. And I mean, that's what you do. That's what you got to do. That's what people want to see. That's how you make people care about outcomes of your matches and not just care because they think they're going to be good matches. This has both. And I love that for Will Ospreay. I also think AEW the last 6 weeks has not watered down the quote unquote Will Ospreay singles match on regular TV. You know, they've done some tags. They've done some singles matches, but he hasn't pulled out all the stops like he used to at the beginning of his run. He has notably, to me, recognized, all right, I gotta save something for when we have these big pay-per-view matches. And I think he's done that successfully. And now, you know, you got an AEW audience that's ready to see him go full on during this match. So I've really liked what they've done with this. I think Ospreay wins. I feel like I'm saying that a lot about a lot of baby faces, but yeah. You know, it seems to me that a lot of these feuds are culminating and wrapping up. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of generally, in that sense, especially when it's a big star like Will Ospreay and he's a big babyface, like he's got to win in the end when these storylines all wrap up. So I'm taking Ospreay. I just want a second. I really like what they've done here. Like this match, maybe more than any of them, feels like, you know, a recognition of, man, we got to get more out of these great Will Ospreay matches than just having good matches. And I think, you know, this is a really good example of that.
I think it's going to be excellent. I think the last time we saw him in a steel cage was in New Japan. Is it one of his last matches?
It's been a bit. Yeah. He was in that big United, that multiple person tag match. Yeah.
So it's going to be really good. They've built it really well. It's taking something that like Will and Kyle, I know from the UK scene, and Mark Davis have a real life friendship there and a really strong bond. And it's what they've been able to do on TV has been really great. Kyle has totally transformed himself. Like he's really pulled something out of himself that I didn't even know was in there. So I'm so impressed by him. I think Will is going to win as well, just because I do think it's the combination, the babyface should win. It's hard for me to see where they go next. I agree with Lady B, like Kyle is a star. Hope that he has big plans after this feud. Yep, I do, because it's some of the men also don't get the big follow-up that they deserve with things. Oh, yeah. So I hope they have that for Kyle. And I don't know what's next for Will, because there's a match coming up we're going to talk about where they've telegraphed who's going to be in the title picture next, really. So it's hard to see, but I think Will's going to win, and I think it's going to be really good. I do wonder with the agent team, what's going to be more bloody, like Will and Kyle or Tony and Mariah, and also where they put these matches as far as the placement goes, because Will, I think, Will always goes out there to have the match of the night, and he is capable of that. And I think him and Kyle are willing to go really far, but women in AEW are willing to go especially far with violence. And I can see Tony and Mariah doing some like gnarly stuff in a false count anywhere. So be interesting to see how they separate these on the card.
That's a really good point. And on this show in particular, they got to be cognizant of that. Because you got a lot of matches that you could potentially see having some of that in it, you know, Swerve and Ricochet. That could certainly rear its head there. MJF and Adam Page, same thing. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned, this Will Ospreay Fletcher match. And of course, the women's championship match. Plus you have John Moxley, who just, his thing. So you want to be careful. You do want to be careful. Some of these matches, I think, need that kind of thing more than others. And hopefully somebody backstage recognizes that. Because otherwise, by the time you get to the end of it, the fifth match where there's blood and guts, like it's not gonna mean what you want it to mean. And I think you're really smart to call that out.
Yeah, if I was Tony Khan, I would be like, let Tony Storm and Mariah have the blood, 100%. And let Ospreay and Kyle have the crazy high spot, and the rest of you all just work it out. But
yeah, figure it out, right? That's how I would switch it. How I would say it too. Okay, you guys get to do something crazy off the cage.
Yeah,
and Tony Mariah, you're the bloodbath match, and everybody else, have a good match a different way.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Let's go to, we've mentioned it just there, Ricochet versus Swerve. And the winner of this is going to be the number one contender. I think they've done a tremendous job with Ricochet, or Ricochet's done a tremendous job playing to this character. He's been really good. It's something that, like, I didn't think was in him, and I'm not sure many people thought was in him, honestly, to play a character like this. But I think he's been great, and I think Swerve's been great too. I miss Swerve from the main event scene. I think my only like real problem with the storytelling, especially when we had Dynamite this week, is there's been a bit of a tease like 2 weeks ago with Prince Nana. Whether he would turn on Swerve, and that has been such a successful partnership that started when Swerve was a heel and continued on when he was champion. And Ricochet has the robe, Jimmy Rave's robe, which means a lot to Nana, but I don't think that's something a story they've properly told. I feel like we know that the robe's special to Nana, but we don't know the whole history of it. And as someone that like does know about Jimmy Rave and Prince Nana and has watched the old embassy stuff with Jimmy Rave, I feel like you could really tell like an emotional story there. So I do wonder that if Nana turns on Swerve, I might feel like it hasn't been earned, like it could have been earned better. But as for the winner, I'm just going for Swerve because I've not put no spoilers for what I think is going to happen in the World Championship match, but whatever happens, like, I can't see Ricochet being put in that position as a number one contender, unless it's going to get blown off in like a Dynamite match or something. But I'm going Swerve. How have you felt about this one, Zach?
I've liked this feud a lot. I think like it's before Tony Storm and Mariah May, kind of came back together, and did their thing in the lead up to Grand Slam into this. I mean, the Swerve Strickland Ricochet stuff was the best kind of storyline going on the show in the middle. And then it was in the middle of the card. Ricochet has found himself here from a character perspective. And it really for the first time in a while, like just, you know, and who'd have thought it would have been an AEW when you've got like, yeah, all the, you know, when they're just not known for that type of thing at this point, but he did. And look how much better he is as a worker when he's got that whole picture kind of coming together. And he's not just this in-ring guy, but there's more to him than that. And I think it's really done well for him. And Swerve has been a perfect opponent for him to play off of. I agree with you in regards to the Nana stuff. They've teased this. But I think that you want to take it further. And so, like, to me, like, if you want to do this turn at some point, okay, like, I can see that. Like, Prince Nana is a really good heel manager for somebody. And he's worked out with Swerve as a babyface too. No question about it. But, you know, it's like Paul Heyman in that regard. Can he work babyface? Yes. He's better as a heel manager. But they're not there yet. They're not there yet with it. So I think this has a couple more chapters. And I think if you're going to do a turn, maybe you do it when Swerve has that title match down the road at Dynasty or whenever it is. Maybe, you know, you give it 3, 4, or 5 weeks more build or more of a tease to feel like it's earned, as you put it. Because, yeah, it's just not there yet. And I think Swerve wins. You know, it's Ricochet, you know, when I look at the title picture, regardless of like how you kind of see that match going, in any scenario, Ricochet doesn't seem like a strong opponent for that person. If John Moxley wins, it's like he's going to work with Ricochet. If Cope wins, Ricochet is not a guy you want to feed to Cope right now because Ricochet is on the rise. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem like his time to be in that spot. Whereas Swerve, you know, you can plop him in there at any point at this time. So I think Swerve wins. And, you know, Swerve and Moxley, that's a heck of a match if you put that on pay-per-view. So, yeah, thumbs up to that. And I've just want a second again how much I've enjoyed this this build.
Yeah, the same. I think with Ricochet, when they brought him in, he's not someone I would have brought in because I felt like he offered something that we already had. And he's found something different to offer. So good for him. Like, really, really well done. And I'm glad they let him explore a totally other side of him. Do you think we get to see Samantha Irvin since she got mentioned?
Interesting. Yeah.
Wasn't her whole thing she left WWE saying that she didn't want to be just a ring announcer? She wanted to, you know, explore being a character. So I just wonder if that was a little Swerve mentioning her was like a little hint or something.
That is interesting. I didn't think of that. I mean, it would be a good time to bring her in. I guess I'll be the party pooper and I'll just say no, probably not. But mainly because Swerve's winning here in my mind. I think if I would have predicted Ricochet, then I could probably predict a scenario where she comes back. But I'll be the party pooper and say no. But I think that would be cool. And you know, it makes sense for her to go there at some point. So I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen, though.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Takeshita versus Kenny Omega for the International Championship. This is one I'm very excited for. I've missed Kenny so much. It just hasn't felt the same without Kenny. They had a great video package for this on Dynamite that I wish we'd seen a long time ago. I felt like, well, they've been holding on to this, you know, to really show the history. I think that Takeshita, I love Takeshita. I would elevate him even higher than the International Championship. But he has had a bit of a stop-start run, like, in my opinion, and maybe Kenny being off for so long hasn't helped that. And then some other people getting involved that shouldn't have. But this one, for the winner, I am going to say Kenny because he's freshly back and because I'm predicting Okada for the International Championship, though Takeshita Okada would also be a great match. But I just feel like right now, as much as I love Takeshita, it is time to like run with Kenny. So if we're not putting him in the main event, I would give him a title that he can then put the other title together and be like the second, you know, champion. So I'm going to go for Kenny.
You said it. You said it. It is time to get in the Kenny Omega business if you're AEW. Yeah. You're in it, but like really be in it. Like give him a title, give him a big push, give him a huge match at the biggest show of the year at All in Texas and a huge baseball stadium. Like,
yeah,
you know, look, I mean, if anything about the last 12 months with him, if it tells you anything, it's that you're not going to have this guy forever. You're not going to have Kenny Omega forever. You're not going to have him at this level forever. Like, get to it. Get to it. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they know that now. And I think Omega wins here too. And, you know, I think this feud has been fine, except it does feel like it's gone on for like 2 years. You know, like All Out, when they wrestled at All Out, that was 2 years ago now, and that's, you know, or almost 2 years ago. It's crazy, you know, and here they are, and he's still going with the Don Callis family. So, you know, again, it's fine, and I think they're going to wrap things up here, but, you know, it's time for Omega to do more and to do something bigger, and if that means unifying championships, hey, I love that idea. You know, there's too many titles in AEW anyway, so, yes. Like, this is good, but the bottom line is it all – if you're going to go big with Kenny Omega, he's got to win this match. And yeah. I think he will. Like, this is another match of the night contender for me, along with, you know, the Will Ospreay match and the Tony Storm match, but there's no reason to think this is going to be bad. And I am looking forward to seeing Kenny Omega, to your point. It hasn't felt the same without him. And you know, now we get a chance to see him with a really good opponent. Yeah. And fine storyline. This is good.
I think it could be the match of the night. I think there'll be a lot of eyes on Kenny, as there has been since he's come back, to see if he's, you know, lost a step or anything. But I feel confident that Kenny Omega hasn't. It feels, you know, terrible to keep saying it, but I think it is very true with AEW. I do think about the follow-up as well, and we did say that Takeshita, it's been a stop-start or a rocky push, as Maria says in the chat. So I hope they have something for him. Maybe I could see him moving on to a feud with Kyle that like implodes the Don Callis family. Because I feel like Takeshita is kind of outgrowing it, and him and Kyle, it's kind of like this town ain't big enough for the both of us, like situation with Don being with them. Yeah. So I hope they have something for him after this. But yeah, I'm hoping that Tony Khan is fully in the Kenny Omega business now that he's back. The next one we have is MJF versus Hangman Adam Page. This is the one I'm most excited for, I have to say, even though it's a great card. But this one, I've really liked the build. This is the highest I have been on MJF since his championship reign, I will say. Like, since he met Adam Cole, this is the best I've felt about him, because I've been really down on him. I'll admit it. And, you know, anyone that's watched any of these will know this. I've been really down on his character work for a long time. And it was since he got with Adam Cole. And I think this has brought him back. And it's been interesting because we had the Jeff Jarrett direction that it seemed to be going in. I felt like his promo battle with Jarrett, I really didn't like. I really thought it went to like a really awful place, and a place that MJF likes to go to, that I just think is so cheap and just, you know, terrible when he talks, the way he talks about women and stuff like that and people's wives. And I think for once it feels like they took stuff on board and just went, hey, this isn't working, rather than pushing with it. And then who's a great person for MJF to go against? You know, it's Hangman Page. Like, it's become a thing on TV now, basically, to say that Hangman's the main character. But that's something a lot of us have thought since day one, that he is the main character of AEW. So I feel like MJF, him being paired with Hangman has, like, to me, it's resurrected him. And a lot of people have been high on MJF the whole time. I haven't been, but I feel like this has resurrected him and put them both in their correct roles. Because to me, Hangman is the main character in AEW, but not just the main character, but he's like the romantic lead, right? He's like the hero of the story, and MJF is the villain. And when they are portraying those characters, they're at their best. The only thing that I haven't liked is I just think that they went a bit too far on Dynamite with MJF dousing him, about to like set fire to him, just because I just don't find that believable. Mm-hmm. So that was just like a step too far into the cartooniness for me. I mean, I can obviously, Hangman burnt down Swerve's house, but I can more believe someone burning down a house in the middle of nowhere than threatening to actually set a human being on fire like that. So that's really my only gripe. But I've loved this, but I don't know yet who's going to win. So I'll let you give your thoughts on it first while I try to
win. You're playing the host card and making me move. this feud has been, I mean, very fun to watch, but mm-hmm. also very necessary for both yeah. MJF and Adam Page. Like, to your point on MJF, man, was that guy floundering. I mean,
yeah,
he just, I mean, with between Adam Cole and coming back and working with Adam Cole again, and that yeah. never really clicked. And then he's, you know, going back and forth with Jeff Jarrett. Like, what? Like, it just, he wasn't being treated like the top guy that he is, like in positions like that. And finally here, like he's able to kind of occupy that spot again as like top guy. He's got a top opponent in a top match on a pay-per-view. Like that's yeah. MJF. And he, you know, he's not a guy that you just put with random people. Like he should have something important going on constantly in the company. Mm-hmm. And this Hangman Page thing really, really saved that. And on the flip side, you know, I think Page worked, you know, Adam Page, he was kind of this heel. He burned down Swerve's house. He's working with Swerve when Swerve was a babyface. Like, he kind of went down that heel path. But look, no, the AEW fan base never really like took to him yeah. as a heel. Like, they maybe booed to like play along, I felt like, but yeah. it seems like they want to cheer him. People want to cheer Adam Page. And finally, now you have Adam Page working with somebody like MJF. That mm-hmm. audience has full permission to do that. And so yeah. you've got a heel aligned the right way, a babyface aligned the right way, and, you know, off you go. I agree with you on the lighting on fire thing, you know.
Yeah.
Break on fire for 2 years. No more fire.
My other gripe was MJF. The tattoo removal should have been more if that was going to happen. I don't know. I think if you're going to do that, like, pay it off better.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I honestly, like, when it was happening, I was like, wait, what? Wait, tattoo? Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. It took me a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm someone, obviously, that follows this all the time. Yeah. If you were somebody just dropping in, you'd be like, what's happening? Yeah, that's a good point. But this has been good. They've repaired each other with this.
I feel like MJF and Cole and Adam Cole, to me, it felt like a breaking point in the discourse, like yeah. surrounding AEW. And I know that like some people listen to me and like they just think I hate AEW, and a lot of it stems from the Adam Cole MJF thing. But I feel like MJF and Hangman Page are two. Now I know MJF wasn't signed on day one, but they are two like day one main characters. Like if we have our list of little AEW characters, people that we really put that on, MJF's in there, and I think that people have like such an attachment to him that they really do like and root for him. And then him kind of like deviating off into everything with Adam Cole, it just felt like things haven't been the same since that happened. Mm-hmm. And this feud with Adam Page, who is a guy who I always enjoy Adam Page's work. Like there's some times where I think he could be in a better storyline or whatever, but 9 times out of 10, like I enjoy his work. And I feel like if you were to criticize Adam Page's work, you'd get the same response you do when you criticize MJF's work, because they're both so important to like the core fan base. But this feud, putting them together, it does just like reset them both into such a better spot that I think this feud is like really as good for the company as it is for the individual wrestlers, if you know what I mean.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's kind of like helps straighten out the whole show, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. And you know, like I feel like it's really simplistic to say what I'm about to say, but it's also true. Like, mm-hmm. you've got to have your top guys acting and being like top guys and delivering like top guys and women. So, you know, if you've got these guys, like, just not, it's why I have gripes with like Okada and Mercedes Moné. It's like, they're mm-hmm. They're some of your top people that are not in positions where they can do top guy stuff. And MJF was in that spot for a long time and he's not anymore. I'm taking MJF here. I don't think that this match is a one match deal. I think they're going to
do
multiple matches here. And I think if you want, you know, the classic thing with MJF is, hey, he beats you, and then you got to work to get that other title shot. And yes, it may be pride and mess, it may be dull, but I kind of think that's where we're going with this, where we get a kind of some kind of shenanigan heel finish. MJF will win, and then, you know, Paige is going to have to work to get that shot again. So I will take MJF, but I can certainly be convinced otherwise.
I'm not going to try. I think we get MJF winning, and I think we get him winning with something sneaky, like a roll-up or something. Not sneaky, but like something like that. And then I think we get another match that Hangman wins, and then I think we get Texas Death in Texas.
There you go. Yeah, perfect.
And these two, like we were saying earlier, a lot of things feel like they're wrapping up. These two, I do not think are wrapping up. And I think it would be a bad idea to wrap them up. I think this is going to keep going into the summer. And I'm totally here for that. So, yeah, I think that MJF, the heel, wins the first one. All right. The main event. It's Jon Moxley versus Cope. This is a match I'm not high on. I'll just be honest. Haven't enjoyed the Moxley storyline as it's played out. It's just, I don't think it's been well booked or well storyboarded, like we were saying with Tony and Mariah. It's kind of, to me, felt like the opposite of that. I think that the Death Riders, I find quite boring, and I feel like when they come on, it kind of takes like the whole showdown. Like you have like a great Osprey moment or a great MJF and Hangman moment. And it's like, oh, here's the Death Riders. And Cope, I've never been a Cope girl, an Edge girl, and I'm even.
It doesn't help what his name is Cope.
It doesn't help. It feels wrong reading it. People are going to hate me and ask for me to be fired again. I think Cope is cringe. I think he's cringe. I don't think he's the guy for the spot. And I want Moxley not to be champion anymore, but I don't want Cope to be the guy that wins it. Or the other option, Christian cashing in and winning it too. I am willing to stick with Moxley until Swerve has as much with him, to be honest. So that's my thoughts on that. I mean, everything else on the card I'm here for, but I am not here for Mox and Cope. How have you been enjoying this?
Yeah, man, I'm generally pretty blah on this. I think that like it's weird because I, compared to Mox's previous opponents, like Orange Cassidy, and like when he was like messing around with like Dark Order and they were trying to like take him out.
Yeah,
Cope is an upgrade on that for me. But that doesn't mean it's good. And, you know, so it's an upgrade, yes, but I still think it has a lot of issues. The big one being, I feel like people are out there convincing themselves that, like, Cope may win this. And I just don't think that's going to happen. I think there's almost zero chance that that is going to happen. And in the Christian Cage factor, it's like, okay, that's out there. But him cashing in, like, doesn't – I don't think it – does better things for your world title picture than Mox holding onto the title and wrestling somebody like Swerve. You know,
I can't imagine Christian being champion.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, that's like a big step back, you know, in my eyes. So
I'm not 100% certain that they remember Christian has this. You know,
yeah, right. I mean, yeah, that's a whole not, yeah, right. That's a whole other thing. But I to me, like the smartest look, the John Moxley title reign has been stale, you know, and it's been slow and plodding, and it just feels like it's like has not been able to get into gear. But to me, I still think that there's value in you don't just change it just to change it. Wait until you have the right person to get it on. Because the longer Moxley holds the title, I don't think it's bad enough where it's completely doing damage. Like, it's a little boring, but he's still like generating a title reign here that when it ends will matter a lot. And so I hold it until you get that matchup that you want, like a Swerve or a Darby or somebody like that. Swerve is would be my pick.
Mine too. I think with Moxley, not just the fact that he's like this heel champion, but because there has been quite a bit of negativity on the storyline. I think the way to flip it would be someone like Swerve that the fans are really truly behind, be the one to vanquish him. Like Bunkers LFC mentions Darby Allin there, who's, you know, always been rumored to be the person that's going to do it, but he has other stuff that he's doing, climbing Everest and things like that. And I just feel like Swerve being back on top would be really great, and it would really make me feel a lot better. I don't know what happens to Moxley once he loses this title. Like, I was on with Wade a couple of months ago, and I said, like, I can't see where I cannot see him being in AEW like by the end of the year if he loses the title, like for many different reasons. I just feel like this storyline with Mox, it kind of feels like to me as his last stand to make something that he feels happy with in this company, in like a mainstream week-to-week company, and it's not turned out, I think, how he saw it. And there's the Jay White factor. And I have to say, everyone knows I'm a Jay White girly, when he said on Dynamite about his like cope, when he had to say cope, I was just like,
Jay. I know, it's like, come on, just say his actual name.
I'll pay your ransom, Jay, so you can go find something else. But like Jay turning on Cope, as people are saying, I can see that happening. My worry is that that then locks him in a feud with Cope, like the Cope gets passed on to Jay. And I think I guess he's there to turn on Cope. Great.
I think I don't think you put that out there, like, if that's not what's going to happen. Like, that's my pick. I think that
felt so lame when he was like, I'm sorry, but like it really was. But I don't think you can script anything that doesn't sound Liam with his name being Cope. Because it's, you know, it's just not believable, as not just it's not believable as a human name, but it's not believable as the name of someone that poses any kind of threat as a face or a heel. It's just
right. It's not threatening as a heel, and it's not like somebody you feel like you want to get behind as a big.
I know. Yeah. I'm going for Moxley. I hope it's a good enough match. I don't have faith in that either. There is the Wheeler Yuta factor too, but I think I can't see him turning to cost Mox just because I'm so certain that Mox is going to win.
Right. And I think that's kind of a red herring. I still think Yuta is under the spell of Moxley. And I think between that and Jay White, you know, you protect Cope and Mox wins.
If you're ever going to turn Yuta, I would wait till Daniel Bryan comes back, even not to wrestle, even just, you know, for an appearance, like a Sting-esque appearance, something like that. We do have a super chat as we wrap up here from Hurst Hill, who says, this will end. Cope wins. Jay White screws Cope. Christian cashes in and pins Cope, a new AEW World Champion. I mean, that sounds like an exciting sequence of events. I just can't see Christian as champion in the way that I can't see Kobe as champion. But Christian is Tony Khan's favorite wrestler, so
yeah. It could happen. Yeah, like I think Hurst, what you've outlined there is logical. I mean, I think it all makes sense. But the end point, Christian Cage as your world champion, like I cannot get on board with that with a stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm. If the AEW title was the AEW title, the reigns are usually quite long. It's yet to become something that's flip flopped in the way that the WWE titles have been in the worst periods of WWE. Sorry, mm-hmm. So whether AEW's on a high or not, they are at least not flip flopping. Titles. So
that's right. Yeah.
Well, everyone, thank you for joining me. Zach, thank you so much for joining me. Please tell everyone where they can follow you, find more of your great stuff, and all the great things that you do.
Gosh, thank you so much for having me. This has been an absolute blast. Yeah, if you guys want to check out more of my work, I run a shop called Brass Ring Media. You can find our work on YouTube. Just search Brass Ring Media on YouTube. You can also get all of our live shows as podcasts, so you can download us. Just search Brass Ring Media on your favorite podcast app, and I'm on 2-3 shows a week. The team is on 2-3 other shows a week. You get lots of stuff every single week, so just download us, Brass Ring Media, on whatever podcast app you use. We also have written work on Substack, and that's totally free. Just search Brass Ring Media Substack and you can find that. And of course, I'm on Twitter a little bit, Zach_Haydorn, and I'm on Blue Sky More, Zach Haydorn there. So check me out. I would love for you to follow along, especially on the Blue Sky, because I'm slowly migrating fully over there. So check me out. Thank you.
Yeah, it's hard to get everyone to come, find your.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yes, it's like.
You spend all those years building up the X following, and it's hard. But everyone, go follow Zach. You can find me. I'm on Blue Sky at Stephanie MTS. I'm on Twitter at X as well. But I said I wasn't going to tweet again. And then there are some things that you just have to tweet again. And then I also have to use it to send messages to people. So I just feel like I can't, let go of it as much as I want to. So
soon we will.
Soon. And find me on Substack as well. And I just want to thank everyone that watched live, everyone that was so nice in the chat and gave us their thoughts and engagement. I really appreciate that. I guess I'm going to be back for WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
That'll be a big one. But until next time, guys, thank you and goodbye.
With a Wealthfront cash account, your uninvested cash earns 4% annual percentage yield from partner banks with free instant withdrawals, even on weekends and holidays. 4% APY is not a promotional rate, and there's no limit to what you can deposit and earn. Wealthfront, money works better here. Go to Wealthfront.com to start today. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealthfront is not a bank. The APY on cash deposits as of December 27, 2024 is representative, subject to change and requires no minimum. Funds in the cash account are swept to partner banks where they earn the variable APY.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.